website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Riverside at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us as we face the issues. You make the program. It is your dialogue and discussion that enhances the basis of what we're wanting to say each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you that your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of today. We're talking about all-out war on free speech. All-out war on free speech. Do you see it? Do you recognize it? Do you understand it? Ladies and gentlemen, a quick look at the new terms relating to speech today reveals what one writer called a bizarre new idea. Terms like hate speech, fake news, disinformation, misinformation, conspiracy theory, science denier, climate change denier, election denier. All of these new terms are designed, ladies and gentlemen, to limit your free speech. And yet we have in our Bill of Rights codified our liberties, religious liberties, and freedom of speech. How do we respond to it? What should we do? That's our discussion today. And for your dialogue and discussion, be able to join the interest in the conversation, the communication with others. Today's broadcast, we invite you to call 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'll have a brief monologue, and after the monologue, our telephone lines are open. The invitation is given that you might join the dialogue and discussion today. Have you had any interference with your free speech? Do you recognize free speech? Do you recognize any encroachment on free speech? What is free speech? What does it mean? How should we respond when we see governmental agencies, when we see the woke culture, see what's happening in our schools, hospitals, doctors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? We'll be talking about the whole litany of what we see as an encroachment on our free speech. We do so, ladies and gentlemen, as look at the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. May I say to you, John 8, 31 and 32, I think is very pertinent today in relationship to the discussion that we're having. In John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, there's a declaratory statement made in John 17, 17, where the scripture says, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." How long is forever? It's forever, unchangeable, unalterable. It is simply the truth of the Lord. May I say to you, as we are reminding you each and every day, that when we look at things that are happening in the world, when we see things taking place local, national, international, and globally, we need to view it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? You see, from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, God is giving a progressive revelation of himself to man. But in doing so, ladies and gentlemen, we see the whole plan of God. We see what God is doing in relationship to the home, the family, the church, and in the what we call the political realm, which in reality is simply civil government as God has presented it to us. So we need to stay on track in the realization and the recognition that God's Word gives us directions as to what to do and how we should do it. It's the truth book, as I like to call it. It was the secularist George Orwell back in the 40s, late 40s, when he had written the novel, the dystopian novel, called 1984. When Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see today, ladies and gentlemen, it is we have come a long way from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've come a long way from truth in general about issues that affect our lives. We have strayed away from the fundamental foundational truths that made America great for all of these years. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a statement. DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint said in part, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that should be alarming to any hearer to realize that that's what is taking place. But yet, the fact is that 55%, latest survey, 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% think that each person determines their own version of truth. Each person determines their own version of truth. Now, if you want something to cause consternation, difficulty, stress, strain, and confusion, let that permeate society. And that's what's happening today. There's the mindset that your truth is different from my truth, but we all have truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an impossibility. Truth is truth. It is going back to the fact of what would be called the in the beginning, where Jesus, in fact, states, I am truth. What does it mean where Jesus says, I am truth? It goes back to the fidelity of the original, and we're not finding that today. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I pray that you'll take that stand in your life each day, that you're going to seek to find the truth. I'm not talking about an element of truth. I'm not talking about a nuance of truth. I'm not talking about an individual's belief of what is true, but seeking the truth, learning the truth, listening to the truth, loving it, telling it, living it. And ladies and gentlemen, once we do that, we'll be willing to stand and defend the truth, even if it means death. I challenge us each and every day with that mantra, and I believe that you're hearing it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful benchmark. There's an identifier that will help you to find the campus of Tools for Time. 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find the flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me simply invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion today. I'm looking at an article that says, the feds now want to regulate our freedom of association. In many ways, freedom of speech is vanishing, this writer says. Listen carefully. This subtitle of this article, Warnings Follow Release of Advisory on Loneliness. In many ways, freedom of speech is vanishing in America. With equity, demands, pronouns, orders and requirements for not just political, but gender, racial, and other correctness. Freedom of religion, too, has been attacked under the Joe Biden administration with multiple legal fights by groups that simply want to worship in their faith traditions. After all, it was Biden's administration that spied on traditional Catholics. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I was shocked to read an article recently where the Biden administration, it's been discovered that the Biden administration had put in spies, infiltrated spies into some of the Roman Catholic churches across America to determine what they're talking about, what they're planning, and what they're doing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if they've done that in a Roman Catholic church, what have they done in the traditional evangelical churches across America? Are they spying on us to ascertain and determine how they can squelch and block anything that we would call our freedoms of religion and our freedom of speech? I want to read to us today, ladies and gentlemen, in our Bill of Rights. I have pocket constitutions that I often share with people. In fact, one of our sons, Greg, you've heard him often on the radio broadcast with me. Greg will buy cases, hundreds of pocket constitutions, and pass them out to the general public as he's coming and going and meeting people. And he talks about the Constitution and what we have in particular encased in our Bill of Rights. But in the First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, in our Bill of Rights, reads this way, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I want you to listen to that. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that today. What does the word abridge mean? Are we seeing our freedom of speech being abridged in America today? Let me recite to you once again some of the thoughts that I stated in the pre-monologue as we opened the show today. Some of the speech today, some of the terms that we hear today regarding speech, I believe reveals what I'm calling a bizarre new idea. It is the woke culture that's inculcating the woke culture mindset of what is speech and what can be allowed. For example, hate speech. Listen, let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, let me repeat again, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What is hate speech? Do you find anything that's codified in our Constitution within the realm of our Bill of Rights that will in some way categorize, compartmentalize, and separate different areas and categories of speech? What is hate speech? Many will term things that Christians and conservatives say as hate speech. If we make a proclamation or a statement in relationship to position or what we're saying, it's deemed as hate speech today, often. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast. What is fake news? What is fake news? What is disinformation, misinformation, conspiracy theory, science denier, climate change denier, election denier, All of these terms, ladies and gentlemen, are designed to limit or to control our freedom of speech. You know, Anthony Fauci says he is science. And if you deny what Anthony Fauci says, then you're a science denier. And in the current culture of things, if you're a science denier, your free speech and speaking against the statements that's made in recent years, then somehow, some way, you need to be controlled. Your speech needs to be abridged. Your speech needs to be stopped because it's, we find, ladies and gentlemen, when that comes about, it's no longer freedom of speech. What if we had no First Amendment? Where would America be today? Our nation is known for our Bill of Rights, our freedom of speech, our religious liberties. But ladies and gentlemen, today, I call it ground zero for all-out war on our Bill of Rights. It is ground zero. When you come to freedom of speech, it's ground zero on the war against our Bill of Rights in toto. No longer are we free to speak. No longer are we our religious liberties viewed as protected speech or protected life. No longer are we able to freely challenge the school boards and the teachers because of teaching CRT and the LGBTQ sodomite agenda or what is called equity or equality or abortion. To do so, ladies and gentlemen, today, the DOJ calls that domestic terrorism. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over to the question or comment, please.
No, I guess as Christian, you know, this is a spiritual battle. The devil has been positioning his people in places that they can reach the masses. You don't see anymore the facts, the so-called fact checkers. It was every single day checking when Trump was in the White House. Everything that came out of any of his officials, the fact checkers were right there checking everything. Have you heard that lately? Everything is an evil agenda. They just fact check whoever they want to fact check. And my question is, who are the fact checkers? Are they the owners of the truth? I mean, is that what's going on, brother?
That's a good question, Jose.
Yeah.
I like that.
I would like to see them fact checking Biden with so many lies and so many crooked things that they've been doing and his son. They're nowhere to be found. They're nowhere to be found. So let's be honest. I mean, these people with an evil agenda, they are positioned in places that they reach the masses. You got the media. You got the perverse in Hollywood. You got the TV. You got all those outlets, and they're trying to control those people that doesn't bow to their evil, bow wicked ways. And that's literally what's going on. And freedom, and these people don't believe in freedom of expression because their reasoning is so weak. It's so shallow and it's so small that they cannot argue with those issues. You know what I mean? So it's just plain simple. I think they are so afraid of the truth because we know what the Bible says. They will know the truth and the truth will set them free. So the devil hates when somebody is speaking truth because that might open their ears and they might come to their senses. So that's the attack that we have left and right from big stores, on social media, everywhere. Because the devil hates to hear the truth. That's why we as Christians, we cannot cave in. We cannot change what the Bible says. If the Bible said it, we have to stick by it. And I don't care what whoever doctor in theology tells me. If that's contrary to what the Bible tells me, I better die before caving to these people. And I think that should be our attitude as Christians in a loving way, but we cannot compromise the biblical principles. And unfortunately, many so-called Christian leaders are bowing down to the anti-America, anti-Christian agenda, trying to embrace, trying to please everybody. You cannot please everybody. The Bible says either you are with me or you are against me. There's two sides. You cannot be in between. And that's my comment, brother. Thank you very much.
Jose, thank you so much for your comment. You're exactly right. And you touched on something that I've covered several times on this broadcast. We have every mainline denomination in America today that's compromising because there's been questions about what's been said and censoring of free speech, and therefore major denominations are compromising today, embracing the sodomite lifestyle, embracing the LGBTQ agenda, embracing the woke culture terminology because of a desire to be approved and a desire to be embraced in what is said and done rather than taking a stand. Jose, you're exactly right. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we need to learn, recognize, and inculcate in our lives as Christians and conservatives is that the world's going to hate us. In fact, Jesus said in John 15:18, that if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. Jesus reminds us in that 20th verse of the 15th chapter of John that the world persecuted him, and we as Christians will be persecuted. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that's taking place, which is an unusual phenomenon, but we're finding the woke culture that's embracing all of these ideological bents and terminologies that's all designed to control free speech. And as a result of that, we're finding more and more Christians that are compromising, that are bowing and giving in to it because they do not want to fight and stand for truth. And I agree with our caller with Jose a moment ago. We need to be willing to stand and be willing to die to stand for truth. I'm looking at an article, ladies and gentlemen. What's really behind America's free speech problem? The article says, a recent New York Times op-ed resigned the debate, regained the debate, that is, over whether or not America has free speech, a free speech problem. This article reads, new polling from Times Opinion shows that 84% of adults said it is a very serious problem or a somewhat serious problem that some Americans don't speak freely today because they fear retaliation or criticism. The editorial board equates that this anxiety with losing what is called a fundamental right for the citizens of a free country to speak freely and what's on their mind. This article states, we discussed how cancel culture affected people's engagement with free speech. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, what this redounds to in this article is that many people today across America are limiting what they say. They're in some way sequestering what they think or feel and are not speaking it because of the cancel culture, the woke culture today that's criticizing, condemning, castigating, and challenging what you or I would say. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it is what we're doing, what we're seeing is the retrenching, going back into the closet, being afraid to speak out. And yet we're finding the irate on the ones that are intolerable, the ones that the Bible says God's turned them over to a reprobate mind, that is the Sodomites and the LGBT community. They're the ones that are controlling the speech today, it seems, in America. I call them the loose likes lost liberals in the political arena. They're controlling the speech today and telling we the people, we the conservatives, we the Christians, exactly what we should or should not say, or how we should speak, or where we should speak it. The mindset is you can talk about Jesus in that little building that you're in called the church. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the building is not the church. The bride of Christ, the body of Christ, those that are saved, we make up the church. We have different meeting places that we call the church building, but it's not the church. But the mindset today with the liberal woke agenda is that, okay, Christians, conservatives, you can talk about your issues behind closed doors, but don't you dare verbalize it publicly. Don't you dare say those things because you'll be sequestered. You'll be canceled. You'll be put in Facebook jail, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let me again read headlines. What's really behind America's free speech problem today? And it goes back to the fact that 84% of adults say that it's a very serious or somewhat serious problem. I believe if the truth were known, it would be a far greater number than even 84%, though that's a very, very high number that feel that we have a very serious problem with free speech in America today. But ladies and gentlemen, our religious liberties inextricably linked to the freedom of speech. We have that freedom of speech. Our religious liberties are being encroached upon as our free speech is being taken away. We're talking about today an all-out war on free speech. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. Do you think there's a problem with free speech? What's causing it, in your opinion? Have you had your speech sequestered, stopped, blocked, challenged, chided? Have you been cut off from Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, any of the other big tech social media platforms because of something you said? Well, if you have not, you've not been out there, because that is the approach to cancel the free speech in our nation today. No longer are we free to speak. No longer are our religious liberties protected. No longer are we able to speak freely and challenge the school board or the teachers because of what they're teaching. It is free speech has now been considered domestic terrorism by the Department of Justice in a 32-page document sent to Christopher Wray with the FBI to trace, track, tape, and follow any parent that goes for the school board challenging. Where's the free speech? What's wrong with doing that? It's the cancellation of our free speech. Looking at the headline, school district tells gym teacher to wear gay flags, use preferred pronouns to make class more inclusive. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can't talk about Jesus in a public school classroom. You can't put on a shirt that says Jesus loves me or John 3:16 or any other scriptural verse. You're told that you can't do that, that that kind of speech might alienate someone, might hurt someone, might not be all inclusive. But yet it seems that the other side, the loose likes lost liberals, the woke society, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, they seem to think that they have the marketplace, they have the copyright on free speech. This article says a Colorado school district encouraged its physical ed teacher, the PE teacher, to don LGBTQ pride gear and use preferred pronouns in an effort to display their support for the LGBT community. On March 8th, a group of Jeffco Public School high school teachers were trained on how to make the district's PE program even more inclusive, where all students feel welcome regardless of their race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, according to the presentation obtained by the DCNF through public records request. Teachers were trained to engage in public visibility by sporting some sort of rainbow gear, such as a pin or a t-shirt, a plan to participate in pride events and practice using preferred pronouns. Further, the article states, the teachers can also wear a scarf, a shirt, a tie, a lapel pin, or shoes to send a strong message of support for the LGBTQ Pride Month. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me pause there. They call that free speech, and that's correct. But yet, where's the free speech? Where's Christian conservatives? A Christian conservative cannot exercise the same free speech in the public classroom. A Christian conservative cannot put on a t-shirt or a shirt that says Jesus loves you. A Christian or conservative are forbidden to take a Bible to school, and God help us if that teacher as a Christian were to open a Bible on the desk that he and she's teaching from. Where's the free speech? It's either free or it is abridged. It's either free or it is a cancellation of the free speech. You can't have it both ways. This article says, guessing someone's preferred pronoun can be offensive and harassing, while using correct pronouns is a good way to show someone that you respect them, as your training has stated that you need to do. It goes further to say, in the teacher's email signature, they can have a profile or on their business card where they use a preferred pronoun for the teacher. Ladies and gentlemen, students should be allowed to use locker rooms that to participate in the PE class based on their gender identity. And I could go on and on and on. It is limiting the free speech for the conservative, for the Christian, but an unlimited speech for those on the other side of the aisle, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. 1 minute, be right back. Don't turn your dials.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Although conservative Republicans and far-left Democrats don't like it, it appears a debt ceiling deal that cleared the House last evening will win approval in the Senate in a matter of days. A Texas federal judge who previously ruled the DACA program illegal will hear arguments today on a revised version of that federal program that shields certain immigrants from deportation. Russian forces have started the month with a fresh and deadly aerial assault on the Ukrainian capital, Kiev. Ukrainian officials say several people were killed, including a 9-year-old girl and her mother. Three more Republicans set to announce their bid for the GOP presidential nomination in the coming week. They are former Vice President Pence, ex-New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, and North Dakota's Governor Doug Burgum. More details at srnnews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that should be concerning for each and every listener. If it concerns you, if you're concerned about it, if you have some dialogue and discussion you'd like to speak on, that number to dial is 904-831-0917. We're talking about all-out war on free speech. Just prior to the news break, I was reading from an article. It says, school district tells gym teachers to wear gay flags, use preferred pronouns to make the class more inclusive. Now, that's a key thought there, to make the class more inclusive. But in making the class more inclusive, you're excluding anyone that is conservative and Christian that is bothered by the sodomite agenda of pushing the sexualization and the grooming of our kids in the public arena and the public classroom. This article goes on to say, students should be allowed to use locker rooms and participate in the PE classes on the basis of the gender identity rather than biological sex, though each transgender student should be assessed on a case-by-case basis according to the training that has been given to create an inclusive, safe locker room. Training suggests teachers use anonymous tip boxes to offer alternative free spaces. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not offered. That alternative is not offered to Christians and conservatives in the public arena. But yet, on the other side of the aisle, they're claiming that they have that free speech right to use the pronouns they like, to do this, et cetera, et cetera. But they're forcing teachers to inculcate that in their teaching and obliterating, eviscerating, annihilating the free speech rights of some students and of all the teachers, they require that to be carried out. Ladies and gentlemen, I want again to go back to our Bill of Rights, where Amendment 1 in part says, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. What does it mean to abridge free speech? Ladies and gentlemen, it says Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the exercise, free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. So what does the word abridge mean? I've gone to the Webster's Dictionary for your edification to understand where I get this. The word abridge means to shorten, to omit, to condense, to diminish, to deprive, or abridge one's freedom, to cut off the free speech. And that's exactly what we see taking place today. They claim, no, you have freedom of speech. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, under the Biden administration, under the long arm of the federal government, as we have discovered through Elon Musk and the new, as the new owner of Twitter, that the FBI had a back door, as they called it, to every Twitter account in the world, that the FBI had the right to examine every speech, every tweet, every statement that was being sent, to in some way infiltrate, abridge, to modify, to shorten, to change, or to circumvent your free speech and mine. And ladies and gentlemen, that is on a large wholesale basis in America today, where we find the federal government making the decision on what you can say and what you cannot say. I'm looking at an article that says surveillance over every citizen on earth. Devious group looks to rule the entire world. Listen to this, very important, because Joe Biden just spent a week in Switzerland at the table with the gurus from around the world, endorsing and entering into an agreement that takes America's sovereignty away with the World Health Organization. This article reads, dated May 28th, the World Health Organization has set its sights on establishing a platform for global governance through healthcare, the healthcare field. So warns former GOP presidential candidate and U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann, who was in attendance at the 10-day annual assembly in Geneva of the World Health Assembly, considered the decision-making body of the World Health Organization. Bachmann, according to a report in the Washington Stand, says the international body is poised to expand the influence of World Health Organization's mandate over healthcare decisions globally. To that end, it has proposed a worldwide convention in which it would assume the authority to make decisions, all major decisions, about healthcare, healthcare threats, and then demand that all nations submit to its decisions and all of its rulings. That would mean the international group, with close ties to Communist China, could order lockdowns, boycotts, medical treatments such as vaccinations, and much, much more. And the world would be required to obey it. Critics of the agenda accuse Joe Biden of working to enable the international group to centralize the authority, not just for pandemics, but for any and all healthcare emergencies in the hands of the general director. Bachmann's concern is that the assembly is ready to expand the World Health Authority worldwide. Quote, there's a dual track progress that they're following, she explained. One is through a global pandemic treaty that they're calling an accord. The second is through a package of about 300 individual amendments to the international health rules. Both lead to the same. Both lead to the creation of a platform for global governance through healthcare and controlling what we do or say. And it is a web that locks us down, the likes of which we've never seen in America before. Ladies and gentlemen, are you concerned about it? Are you concerned about the sequestration, annihilation, evisceration, or the abridgment of your free speech? Now listen very carefully. I've traveled across America, and in doing so, I've seen signs that I couldn't tolerate, that I couldn't stand, that were vulgar, immoral, or ungodly. But it's their free speech. They have the right to do so. And yet we have had right here in our city where you can put some things on a church marquee and the media, the local Marxist media, will go ballistic because you've said something that steps on someone's toes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our free speech. Your free speech and my free speech are very, very important. Every dictatorial leader in the world first gained control by the educational process, by the healthcare process, taking the weapons from individuals, and also, ladies and gentlemen, by sequestering and controlling the free speech. So as a result of that, they controlled the people. And ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing America is on the fast track for losing our sovereignty completely and totally under the Biden administration, unless we the people, we as conservatives, we as Christians, determine that we're not going to lose our Bill of Rights. We will not surrender our religious liberties. We will not surrender our freedom of speech. We will not surrender our right to keep and bear arms. I think it's time that we come to some conclusions as Americans as to what we will and will not do. I'm looking at an article. Finally, whistleblower explains why free speech is obsolete. We'll get into that in just a moment. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. How you doing today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing good. Yeah, just because you don't like my speech doesn't make it hate speech. I understand the consequence of speech. You can't walk into a theater and shout fire. The ensuing panic may harm others, but you're right. I've seen some stuff, read some stuff, and just like, well, yeah, you want to be that way, you be that way. But it does remind me of Christ when he sent out his disciples and he told them to go out and preach the good news there, and that if they came to a city or an individual that didn't want to hear, they were just supposed to shake the dust off their shoes and off their cloak and walk away.
That's right.
So free speech, you know, I don't know who's going to, it's a slippery slope whenever you start to say that this is hate speech and this is not. You know, you're going down a slope to where who's going to judge this? And there's no man that can judge that. Ultimately, we'll all face, you know, our judgment at our last breath. So these people are making a big kerfuffle about nothing.
Jim, let me read you a couple of two or three brief paragraphs from about a 10-page article on the question of free speech, asking, is it obsolete? This article reads, are you sick and tired of being called an election denier, or a science denier, or a climate change denier, or a conspiracy theorist, accused of using hate speech, or a purveyor of hate speech, a follower of fake news, or a practitioner of disinformation, misinformation, or malinformation? It comes from the very top, conjured up by the America's elitist. That's right. The conspiracy mongers are right in front of all of us. The result is censorship like our country has never seen before or known before. In the greatest nation founded by mortal men, great men and women under the influence of God Almighty. In the greatest ironies, the nation once boasting the most robust culture of freedom of speech and press, unabridged by the strongest constitutional protections for those rights, is now ground zero for a total war on free speech. How do you equate that? What do you say to that? For example, I believe that the lie that we had told to us about the mask, I believe that I'm a mask denier then. I refuse to wear a mask. I've not worn one. Refuse to wear one. Been chased out of businesses and even doctor's offices over the past 3 years because I won't wear a mask. Because 146 studies tell me that the masks are not efficacious in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So I'm a mask denier. I'm a vax denier. So does that make me any less of a citizen? Should that diminish, censor, or in some way destroy my freedom of speech because of my stand on that? What is your take on it? What is your position? What those that are listening, Jim, I'm talking, wanting you to let's express that. Let's talk to the listener. How should we think? What should we do? Should we censor, be self-censoring? And when we start to speak, say, oh, somebody might hear this, that it might hurt their feelings. Somebody might hear this, that it might cause them to dislike me. How should we respond as Christians and as conservatives in a world today where free speech is censored?
We should remind others in the most gentle and loving manner that we can. Like, for example, somebody said I was a conspiracy theorist. I just looked at them and said, no, I'm ahead of the curve. if they want to get on to me about something else, I just, you know, okay, that's your right to be that way. And I turn around and walk away. One of the most powerful reminders that I can tell people is my experience when I volunteered twice. I volunteered once to join the Army, and then I volunteered to go into a another level of the Army, a more elite unit. And when I swore in, and that oath was to the Constitution there, I remember when they got done swearing us in, the captain that was swearing us in, we're a bunch of 18-year-olds, he looked at every one of us and just said, all your rights have been waived, act accordingly. So being property in serving my nation there and in taking that oath, no one's ever told me that I was free of that oath. And I believe that people should have a more civic-minded education when it comes to the rights that they have, because once they're gone, getting them back is not going to be as easy as taking them.
Absolutely. Once they're gone, as my pillow guy says, when they're gone, they're gone. And so once our free speech and our liberties are gone, they're gone. Further in this article, Jim, I'll bounce this off of you before we let you go. The elites from the permanent ruling class in Washington, also known as deep state, to their propaganda ministry called the mainstream media, the big tech oligarchs controlling the internet to big pharma and other corporate giants, all obsessed with ever-increasing power and wealth, are all lying to Americans continually. It follows then that truthful speech, this is the point, that truthful speech, especially the kind that serves to expose, undermine, and annihilate the elitist self-serving agenda, constitutes the greatest threat to the reign, which in turn compels them to crush dissent at all costs. The very essence of totalitarianism is this statement in this article. Thus, are moral, honest Americans daily smeared as violent extremists, domestic terrorists, white supremacists, and ultra-MAGA insurrectionists, as Joe Biden characterized tens of millions of Republicans during the major speech last summer, semi-fascist, as he called us. So, Jim, the point that I make, we find this sequestration, censoring of our free speech coming from the top down through government agencies, all government agencies, and all big tech and social media that's working at the behest of the federal government. So should Americans self-censor? Should we simply say that I might offend someone? Or should we just take a stand and be honest with ourselves and honest with God? And take a stand. Now, I agree. Listen, and I want to go back and touch on something. We can't scream fire in an elevator. That's the only, and I repeat, only abridgment of free speech. And that's been determined by the U.S. Supreme Court that is the abridgment of free speech. But yes, it is for the protection of all. But can we take that then as a blanket statement and use that as a yardstick or rule to make the determination that if we say something that the woke culture doesn't like, if we say something that the sodomite community doesn't like, if we take a stand about biblical issues and about scripture, should we then simply say, I'm not going to do it because the government said I can't? What are we to do as Christians?
As Christians, you have no choice. You have to say what your faith is there. You have to profess your faith in Jesus Christ. And the truth may hurt someone, but I don't recall an amendment that says thou shalt, you know, or that you should, you have the right to not be offended.
Right.
I'm offended quite often because of my Christianity. I've had people tell me that I believe in mythologies and listening to ancient fishermen and the great spaghetti monster in the sky, and I've just taken it with a grain of salt and just said, you know, maybe hopefully someday you'll hear and your eyes will open and you may have a change of heart, but I'm not going to club you over the head about it. Then look at where it's coming from. It's coming from the upper echelon of government there. The very First Amendment says that you have a right to a grievance there and peaceful assembly and freedom of religion. But yet they want to trample that. And once again, I come back to, once your rights are gone, they don't come back. You know,
absolutely. Just, one of the things, Jim, I think is the summary of it all, that we need to stand for truth, integrity, and righteousness. And the others can disagree, but that's their prerogative. But because they disagree doesn't mean that I'm to be quiet about what is truth and stand for truth. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the dialogue and discussion with us today. God bless you. Keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says the elites all-out war on free speech. Tucker Carlson did this article. That's the end of the First Amendment, he says. A bizarre new lexicon has been conjured up by America's elitist, the sole purpose of which is to discredit, to ridicule, and if at all possible, censor entirely this free speech that doesn't support their increasingly dark and deranged agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I could have summarized it any better. Goes on to say in this article, it follows then that truthful speech, especially the kind that serves to expose and undermine and annihilate the elitist self-serving agendas, constitutes the greatest threat to their reign and control, which in turn compels them to crush any and all dissent at all cost, which is then the very essence of totalitarianism. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, do you believe that speech should be abridged? Do you believe that the left, the loose likes lost liberals, the Joe Biden administration, or any administration, any governmental agency, do you believe they have the right to censor our free speech? And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we're faced with, we're on the fast track for the November 2024 election. Between now and November 2024, we will find the greatest censoring, the greatest attempt to annihilate, the greatest attempt to destroy free speech that America has ever seen. And so the bottom line equates to this in my mind. Will we bow, will we bend, or will we keep standing? Go back to the scripture in the book of Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three young Jewish boys. They refused to bow to the demands of government. And when they were chided and challenged personally, they refused to bend and in some way to give in and to in some way leave off their stand for God. So they refused to bend. But when they were thrown in that fiery furnace, they refused to burn. And I believe that's a good illustration and a good message for us today. We ought not to bow to the demands that will in any way obstruct, annihilate, eviscerate, censor, change or bridge our freedom of speech. That's our right, our prerogative. If I stand and tell you about Jesus, you may not like it, you can leave. If I tell you what is truth, you may not like it, you might believe it is opposite, but I have the right and the freedom under my Bill of Rights to do so. Now, I'm not saying to go out and purposely try to hurt or harm someone, but I'm talking about just being very, very factual on what we believe and say. They're talking about the rights in a classroom to protect the sodomites and the LGBTQ agenda, at the loss of any rights or freedoms and the protections of those students in the classroom that's bothered by or that it counters their Christian culture and background. I'm looking at an article, ladies and gentlemen, that points up what I'm talking about with our freedom. Do we have the freedom to stand in front of an abortion clinic and pray? Do we have the freedom to stand on the street corner and pass out gospel tracts? Do we have the freedom to verbalize what the Bible says? I think we do, based on the scripture and based on our Bill of Rights. But I'm looking at an article that says, elderly pro-life men viciously attacked while praying outside of a Planned Parenthood. Two elderly pro-life advocates were viciously assaulted outside a Baltimore Planned Parenthood clinic on Friday. Several witnesses confirmed to the Baltimore police. And it goes on to talk about a 73-year-old man and an 80-year-old man were viciously attacked while they were simply praying in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Baltimore. So someone didn't like the fact they were praying. Someone did not like it. That was their freedom. And their freedom to pray is the same as their freedom of speech. It's their standing publicly and being willing to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This article says it's important to note that the two victims were not robbed. Walton said this was a vicious attack on two men that were pro-life, and it was their free speech in their prayer. I'm looking at another article, ladies and gentlemen. It says, they portray insanity as normal and bully us into acceptance. This article goes on to say, in the latter portion of it, why has it taken a millennial for the abnormal behavior to present itself? Homosexuality, lesbianism, pedophilia, bestiality have been known for millennia before the birth of Christ, but a quick research into sexual abnormalities dating back to the antediluvian period of time finds no quantifiable desire of the uncontrolled urge for men to identify as women and vice versa. But yet they say, ladies and gentlemen, that they have that freedom, that's their freedom of exercise, freedom of speech being exercised in what they do. They say they have that freedom. But we're not to say anything. We're not to challenge it, chide it, or question it. We're not to say anything about what the gospel of Jesus Christ says. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an encroachment on our liberties, our freedom of speech. Totally. I'm looking at an article that says, the left's assault on the goodness of America is an assault on God. I read this article, a portion of it, yesterday. It's from Senator Josh Hawley. The assault on the goodness of America is an assault on God, said Republican representative from Missouri, Josh Hawley, declared at the National Religious Broadcasting Convention in his speech on Wednesday. Hawley outlined three major threats that the Marxist left pose to the United States: undermining God, undermining the family, undermining the idea of nationhood. He urged the conservative movement to defend those three bedrocks of America. And ladies and gentlemen, part and parcel of each of those bedrocks happen to be our liberty, freedom of speech, that is not to be abridged, the scripture says. Here's an article. High school debater says that she was warned not to bring up Trump in a tournament, deemed it inappropriate. A high school student calling a national speech debate an association for alleged censorship after she says a judge at a recent tournament warned her not to bring up former President Trump because it would be inappropriate for others. Ladies and gentlemen, that's censorship of free speech at the very fullest that could be identified as such. The allegations came after James Fishback, the founder of the Incubate Debate, told Fox News Digital in an interview that the NSDA, the largest debate group in the country, has been overtaken by woke ideology and censorship of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, I say that from a Christian conservative standpoint, we need to recognize that we must stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. The right of a school board parent, a parent to challenge the school board is free speech. The right of a doctor to tell you what is good or bad for your body and the medication is free speech. The right of a physician to say that the vaccination could kill you. The right of a physician to tell you that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are good to cure COVID are free speech matters, but they have been censored. Their license have been taken. They have been chided and challenged and prosecuted and persecuted because of that. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that we stand up for our freedom of speech. Just as our freedom of religion, our religious liberties are tied up and bound in that First Amendment, so also we need to stand and speak up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9.